Welcome to Crippled System, episode 245, home of the live-action stabbing.
Well, no, 245 is not a prime number.
No, it is. It is no,
of course not.
So we have a big question today, and that's: are we going to start with the Wisconsin team championship lists, or are we going to start by shitting all over the Teen Titans trailer?
I thought we were going to start with intros. I'm Dan, and I play Crucible Guard.
I'm Andy, and I wish to shit all over the Teen Titans trailer. Because fuck Batman.
And I'm Dave, and I'm still play Kador, inexplicably.
So I thought about watching the Teen Titan trailer because I knew it was going to come up. Then I decided I just didn't care enough.
Oh, you didn't watch it?
You have to watch it live on air now.
No, I don't know. We're not going to do that. No, that's fine. But
there are like many other things I could do to like waste time and oxygen.
Yeah, it looks like somebody's teen angst version of.
We're talking about the live action one.
Yeah. The Teen Titans Go trailer?
That actually looked decent.
Yeah. The movie trailer looks fucking amazing.
No, I mean, the Teen Titans Go, the movie trailer, is a dumb movie that knows it's a dumb movie.
Correct.
The Teen Titans live action series trailer.
But it's not Teen Titans. It's just Titans, Dave.
Titans.
Ooh, edgy shit.
Titans.
Yeah, it is
I'm cutting myself right now. Yeah.
It is indistinguishable from a parody of the DC universe.
The little bit I saw, everything I saw was dark.
Everything is dark, and that's fine. I mean, for the mood of it is fine.
It means they're like a $5 film school washout. It's like, ooh, it's brooding. Let's make it dark.
Well, no. The part that's dark about it is the amount of murder. I mean, like, there's a sequence. Well, it was a sequence where Robin yells out, or just kind of grumbles, fuck Batman, and then proceeds to murder like six people, shooting them in the head, smashing their necks, you know.
Yeah, Robin like shoots like three people and curb stomps a dude and says fuck Batman. I mean, it's just like at this point that what it reminds me of the most was Jimmy Fallon did a parody of what is it the thing that they have the dark and edgy version of Archie. And he did one for Peanuts that was just a parody of it.
Oh,
and it
literally reminds me of that. Riverdale.
Riverdale, yeah. Yeah.
I think it was really good. I just never watched.
Yeah, Jimmy Fallon did a parody of that for Peanuts, and I swear the live action trailer for Teen Titans was closer to that than something that I thought would be real.
It really looks like it's a fan made trailer.
Yeah, so what you're saying is I don't know. That they've proven that they can't do like faithful to the source material without screwing it up. Now they're going to go completely the other direction without screw it up.
Yeah. I don't think this is actually for any other service. I think this is for their streaming service.
Well, I would say, to be fair to it, it doesn't exactly look fan made because the special effects are pretty decent. I mean, they're not great, but I mean, this is
considering
still, somebody spent some money on the special effects.
Considering some of the fan made shows or stuff I've seen, it's up there with that.
Yeah. I mean, the production quality is not bad. The production quality is fine. It's just that in the middle of all of this, you were talking about that Raven is the angsty girlfriend, and Robin just fucking kills dudes and says "fuck Batman" in an overly dramatic, breathy voice.
Starfire also sets fire to people.
Yeah.
There's many people. I mean, like Starfire. So I don't know the Teen Titans as well as most people do. But every time I've seen like the show of Starfire, she appears to be a very bubbly person, very happy person.
Mm-hmm.
And in this, she is just literally just angrily just setting fire to people left and right, like a blowtorch. Or a flamethrower.
I mean, I mean, Raven in Teen Titans Go is already a parody of Raven in the other iterations of it.
Yeah,
and this they somehow made a Raven that was more of a parody than the Teen Titans Go version. It was amazing.
Who seemingly is the girlfriend of Batman, Robin?
Yeah,
yeah. Wait,
Raven?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Or I mean, she's the one that seems to be tied to Robin.
And yeah, the trailer was all about her seeking him out for unknown reasons because apparently he was of the Flying Graysons.
She is so emo that she can't handle it, basically. Yeah. Is Exactly.
It wasn't just merely bad. It was head-scratchingly bad.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... Considering the amount of trailers I saw yesterday, because there was a ton of them that came out of Comic-Con. It's kind of like King of All Monsters. Did you see that?
No.
The new Godzilla trailer?
I went to a War Machine event, and then I played Majora's Mask all day today. I haven't really looked outside to the internet and beyond.
I watched them all the last night, though. Holy cow, there's a lot of a lot of chat that I missed. But Godzilla has just about every single monster in it so far.
Okay.
So it looks like it has almost all the Toho properties in it. I'm excited. It looks like it could be really stupid or really amazing. But it's a Godzilla film.
Godzilla. These aren't mutually exclusive.
So Godzilla, we slagged on last week. And I have to slightly apologize for it, because now I want to see it. We slagged on Shazam so badly last week. Or was it maybe the week before?
I wasn't here, so it was probably last week.
It was last week.
Yeah. Yeah, you weren't here last week, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, Shazam, they showed up the outfit that he's wearing. It looks fucking ridiculous.
Well,
but then the
have
trailer
you read a Shazam comics, because his outfit in the comics is fucking ridiculous.
No, but this is the guy who played Chuck.
Yeah,
he is Shazam. So his entire costume looks like it's a bodysuit that's made to look like he's got muscles. After seeing the trailer, it's perfect for what it is.
Yeah,
it's exactly perfect for what it is.
Well, and I'm sure being shot as opposed to a behind the scenes shot, it'll look better.
The costume basically looks the same as what the still images in that they showed, but the trailer really is pretty much the opposite of every single DC movie, live action movie that I've seen so far.
It doesn't suck.
Besides Wonder Woman, but Wonder Woman was still kind of dark. It was still kind of had a little grit to it. There is no grit in Shazam. At all. It looks adorable. I want to see it. But Nathan's in chat, and he should be here. I don't know why he's not here.
Yeah, so
he didn't give us a reason.
So, Nathan, we need a hot take from you on the Teen Titans trailer.
Well, I should have him call in. I could pop him in. But, we're not going to wait for Nathan's response in the chat, because it'll be like 5 seconds from now, and then we'll respond to it in 5 seconds. Yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah.
So, there was an event yesterday.
There
was a War Machine event over in Milwaukee.
Yep.
How many?
Champions event. We had 10 people come out.
Sweet.
Three Legion players, and then Kador, Signar, Minions.
Are the lists posted?
Yes. Okay. Crucible Guard, Scorn, Trolls, and crap, now I'm forgetting one person.
There's no Protectorate?
No Protectorate.
Oh, you said Signar, right?
No Rhett.
Mercenaries?
No.
Circle?
Grimkin?
Grimkin.
Right. Yeah, because it wasn't Circle, because Chad couldn't make it. I think it was Grimkin.
Which is a shame, because Circle has one of the best.
Correct. I mean, you know. There were multiple people walking around going, yay, Chad couldn't make it. There was a lot of people who had to choose between this event and WITC for car or family reasons or travel reasons, and with Gen Con the weekend after WITC, so it was a little light, but...
So I assume that probably like one of the four of Circle is probably Kruger 2 and Wormwood?
Yeah. Probably do Kruger 2 Bones.
It's Kruger 2 Bones, and the rest really doesn't matter until CID.
Okay. I was kind of curious why everyone was
excited
about them.
The themes are Bones and Devourer's Host. The casters are Kruger 2, Kaya 3, Morvana 1, and...
Wormwood.
Wormwood?
Yeah, okay. And Tanith.
Okay.
Yeah, and Tanith, of course.
Mm-hmm. Oh, five?
Yeah. For the Big 8 and Rhett, the Battlebox casters are in there, too.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And Circle has one of the few relevant Battlebox casters, which is nice. But yeah, I mean, Devourer's Host is about to get a whole CID, and until the CID, the relevant thing in that list is Kruger 2 and Bones.
Interesting.
Yep. So it was good. 4-round event. real quick. Round one, I played against a Caterer Butcher 1-4 Battle Engine list, which we'll come back to at the WITC list.
Four Battle Engine.
Yep. Two, it's the Man of War theme. So two of the Assault Chariots and two of the Siege Chariots.
Are those even out?
Yeah.
They're out?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't see any Pegasus.
They're Bahi.
Oh, well, womp womp.
Okay. So I played Locke into that. It's an interesting list to play, and I didn't think it was that bad. It was just one of those games where I left two battle engines on one hit point each at various points. And there was something else that a Spriggan I went into and rolled real low on damage. But, you know, it was a very swingy back and forth game, and it was fine. The other big thing I learned on that one is despite them being chariots, they're still considered living models and not constructs.
Oh, really?
Okay. Which would be...
The regular battle engine is a construct, though, isn't it?
I think. However, the reminder for me is check that before you fire rust sprays and dragon breath rockets at them to make sure that you fire the right thing in the right order.
So you followed up everything with rust?
So I walk a surprise... I ambush Hutchuck in, throw a rust bomb, and he goes, that's nice, it didn't do anything. Hutchuck goes in and charges it. Then I shoot it with the Dragon's Breath Rocket. So there was my 2 points of damage I needed to kill that one.
Sure.
So anyways, that was game one. I lost eventually. Round two, I played against Rick, who was playing Arcadius and something else. He dropped Arcadius. I dropped my Sylvestro Rocketman list in that list. Humorous things from that game. Round one, I ran everything up and clustered everything, including my two Trancers. He then shot one of the Trancers of Alton Ashley and sprayed another with a Roadhog, and I lost like 9 models, including Hawk and a whole bunch of Press Gangers and 2 slug guns.
That's why you don't put them close.
Correct, because, you know, they blow up.
Mechanithralls exploded. Oh, no. Why are they in the middle of my army?
Yeah.
Or scrap thralls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not so good. But then I feeded and removed 3 heavies. So he was kind of on his back foot. And then he had some order of activation issues, forgot to Pathfinder a beast. Oh. So instead of charging one of my heavies, it ended up just killing a bunch of press gangers. And then he charged... My suppressor with a Warhog, forgetting it had ammunition, and I walked away, and then it went downhill from there for him.
Mm-hmm.
Round three, I played against Tiernan, Rick's son. He was playing Veil 2 in Primal Terrors.
Sure.
That one really just comes down to, I don't think he even really knew what Crucible Guard did, and he had some less than favorable terrain, so his chosen got all jammed up, and it was standoff. So I managed to contest his zone, and then I scored 4 points in the next turn because I cleared both circular zones and destroyed his objective and just won in like 20 minutes.
Mm.
And then the last round, I played Francesc from Chicago. He was also playing Primal Terrors with Animag. I played Sylvestro in that one. He did a thing I've seen some Legion players do, which is after I won the roll to go first, he looked at the table and saw, ooh, there's 2 forests, which I can hide my Hellmouths behind, and went, I'll take this side. Then he looked down and realized there was also a large building about 2 inches outside of his deployment zone centered on the table.
Oh,
okay. And he's like, oh, that's going to be more annoying. I got to live the Crucible Guard dream in this one. So he had on the left side of his that building, he put the Blightbringer, which he also said was a complete mistake because it should have been on the right side because it was spread the net. He has this nice little gap between the Blightbringer and this building, and he clusters up his entire warmonger unit. So Gorag and 3 other warmongers are in this nice little cluster. So top of one, I really aggressively ran up my combat alchemist because his only ranged attack I don't care about. Round two, they walk up and throw 3 ice cages and freeze Gorag and 3 warmongers. So then they die because they have to. But then the turn after that, Gorman walks up and blinds that same cluster of 4.
Oh, geez. Nice.
So... this was another one where it was just the press gangers did exactly what they were supposed to do to kill medium infantry, and tying up Gorag for 2 turns really hurt that list because then the rocket men couldn't get hit.
So how are you liking the combat alchemists? Because they seem like one of the understated stars of a lot of the Crucible Guard lists.
They're amazing. A lot of times they're just one turn cloud wall, but that's all they need.
Yeah.
But Gorman's so useless now because, you know, blind is shakeable.
Meh. Well, Gorman doesn't have Ice Cage.
Like a lot of people when they made Blind Shakeable, they were like, "Oh, Corbin's useless now." I'm like,
so it's no longer a hard control effect on Warjacks or Warbeasts. Yeah. However, Battle Engines is still great on, Medium Infantry is still great on, and even on Warjacks and Warbeasts, you mess with their resource allocation.
Yep. Yeah.
And a lot of times that's fine.
And it's still a huge defense debuff as well.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, I played a lot of Gorman when I was still playing Protectorate, because if Gorman hit something with a blind, my Redeemers could then shoot it.
Yeah. So then, like I said, I lost round one. Travis took first with his Animag list. He and Francis played round three and got to play the Animag on Animag
game. Oh, boy.
Which was interesting because they figured out about halfway through the game that's one of those times where if you play that mirror match, go second. Because you have identical threat ranges. So.
Yeah.
So he took first, Austin took second, and I took third. So it was a good time.
Awesome. Yeah, I ran a small Guild Ball tournament. We had a couple locals and the guy had traveled in. And that was fun. Gave away some stuff.
Nice.
Not really much news on it itself. But yeah, that was the weekend. And then we could talk about events that are coming up, announcements-ish.
It's the WITC this weekend.
So there's no news to get in your list, because if you didn't get in your list, you're not playing.
Correct. I think this is firm enough that I'm going to say it. It sounds like we're going to be doing the meal deal stuff again this year. Still working out the exact details, but it sounds like we're going to have an option to get several meals from the Elks Lodge if you want to go with a meals package. So
if any of you went to the Who's the Boss that happened in December, they had a special deal where you basically paid X amount of money and you got like a wristband and you got free meals for the rest of the day.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yep. So,
okay.
Yeah. It was worth all the pennies that time.
Correct.
It'll probably be worth all the pennies this time.
Given how early we're supposed to be there to set up, yes, it'll be worth all the pennies.
Yeah.
Did you warn them ahead of time to make sure to stock enough Kahlua for us?
That's Travis's issue.
But that, and they know. They knew after the first time that we were there. They were like, "Oh, it's you guys like Kahlua?" And they even said to us, "Like, we have." Well, actually, no. They ran out with John. But that was also John's issue too.
Correct. This year, John's playing, not just drinking. So
yeah.
Not just drinking, so he's going to be doing both.
Correct, but it means he can't just sit in the bar for 5 hours straight. He has to actually come out, and John's playing Protectorate list, so he'll take a while. We'll get to that in a few minutes.
That's going to suck. He's not going to have time to drink. He's playing Protector. He's going to be at that table until dice down, basically, every round. Until clock ends.
Yes, he will, because I am an evil captain and will happily throw him under the bus.
Protector, is it a speed bump?
No, I just don't want to play a bunch of stuff in these sure. lists. And you know, there's a reason I volunteer always to be team captain, so I can be picky.
that was the wonderful thing last year, is that Keith was our team captain and promptly put Josh into Josh, and they played Texas into each other, which was an amazing matchup, because Keith and I won our games. I walked over, sat next to Josh, and I was like, "So we just won, the round's over." And I mean, literally, it's like 5 seconds later, it was like, "Okay, good game, I concede." It's like no pride, yep, no
that's,
nothing.
That's
it's like
not
this game's
help
over.
Your tiebreakers, though.
Correct, but I don't think either of them has played Texas since.
Yeah, it is not fun playing Texas into Texas. Ugh. It's also not fun to play Texas into the Judgment guy for Protectorate.
Yeah.
What's his name?
The guy who puts
everybody on crosses.
Resnick,
yeah.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah, because you try to TK his Jax, they're like, no.
Oh, I thought you were talking Resnick too, where just every drudge blows up.
Well, that's true too. Yeah, no. Mm-mm.
But yeah, and apparently to make that game worse, both of them had at least one unpainted unit of drudges, and they had ambushing. So I don't understand how everybody kept track of what everything was. But anyway, the game ended almost exactly to the second when it no longer mattered.
I mean, I think their plan full on was play until it either doesn't matter or one of them clocks.
Yeah.
So So yeah, so we want to go over list stuff quick.
All right, yep. Quick. This will be a little, this will take a while. First things first, Kador is the most represented faction. Nobody saw this coming.
What? I'm going to get my pad.
Oh. Okay.
I'm getting my pad so I can talk about lists. I don't have it.
Fair enough.
All right.
Yeah. I will say the Kador at 7 is a slight aberration due to some crazy Canadians.
Yeah, the Canadians are coming down with an all Kador team.
Slash Coloradoans.
Yeah.
But yeah, Kador and Circle. I thought those factions sucked.
I don't think anybody seriously thinks Circle sucks. And while I am playing Kador, and I know I have publicly not been all that thrilled about playing Kador for a while, at the same time, I think Kador is perfectly fine in a team event. I mean, just philosophically, I will say that when you're designing pairings for a tournament, I think that if your goal... there are two goals people really think about. There's a goal of trying to go in and come up with a pairing that plays well into every possible matchup. And then there's a separate goal, which isn't exactly the same, which is trying to put your pairing together that will put you in the best position to win tournaments. And there are cases where looking at it and say, well, there are bad matchups here, but I can optimize... For those listening on audio only, Andy just brought out a box of Desters and
about
literally,
an eighth inch of dust on it. That doesn't look like
they're Dusters. They're Dawnguard Dusters.
They're Dusters. But anyway, as I was saying, that designing a pairing to play into everything optimally is not exactly the same thing as designing a pairing to give you the best chance of winning an event. Because there are just going to be situations where you look at it, where you look at the possible pairings and say, I'm going to do better by optimizing for the majority of cases and just accepting that I'll have bad matchups.
Correct. It's why, for instance, every local event I look at who said they're interested in going before making a final list pick.
And I think this is Kador's problem in a competitive environment right now, is that, yes, you can build Kador for everything, but they have a lot of opportunity costs for a lot of factions. I mean, case in point is, I also have recently been thinking about, been playing and thinking about Circle and Retribution and Protectorate and Legion. And one of Kador's big weaknesses is Incorporeal, and a lot of the other factions just beat Incorporeal just by existing.
Oh, you don't have a gun that just randomly removes it?
No.
You should play a better faction.
Yeah. I mean I played Retribution for quite a while and going to Kador, and it's like, oh, I don't just have magic weapons on everything completely randomly. This sucks. And I mean, Circle has magic weapons on just about everything completely randomly, and can take the fish dude, and their best living war beast has Wraithbane, and you take him because of everything else he does, and Wraithbane is just an addition. And then Legion has a decent light war beast with Wraithbane. Mm-hmm.
And now a solo that strips Incorp within 10.
Yeah, and their most powerful theme now doesn't even need it. Mm. It's wonderful. So yeah, I mean, this is just a matter that, yes, Kador can do this, but there's a big opportunity cost compared to a lot of other factions. And so I think in a lot of cases, if you're going to try to win events in Kador, you may do better, unless you know that you're going to run into a lot of Incorporeal, as just pretending that you're not and hoping to dodge it. And I understand that this is frustrating, and this is deeply unfulfilling to me, but at the same time, I think in a lot of cases it's going to give you your best chance of winning doing so. And then you take this to a team event where you have some influence over what you're going to play. And so as we get down to talk about lists, you'll see in my Kador lists, I have very little I can do into something with a significant incorporeal, because I am hoping my captain doesn't throw me under the bus into them.
Or conversely, it's for the good of the team.
Yeah. And if I take a bad matchup, it's okay. But I mean, also for the same reason, this is one of the reasons I really love team events, is that you can build lists without having to feel compelled to cover all the bases.
Where the fuck is my enter key? Oh, seriously?
Yep.
Oh, I hate this.
This has been crippled system tech support.
This is Andy's fucking annoyed with his goddamn tablet. Because for one thing, it had predictive autocorrective text. So whenever I would type in WITC, it would just finish it. Yeah, you meant witch, right? I'm like, no.
Oh, nice.
So I'm on the site here. Where's the lists?
Do you have event equal 411?
No, but I'm on the ATCWMH site. Oh, they don't have it posted yet? And there's no lists on here.
They're on the Facebook site.
Why are they not on the actual site?
Reasons.
Because Dan didn't put him there?
I'm not running the website this time.
Who's running it?
Travis.
Under the bus he will go.
He already admitted he's doing it.
Yeah, because or just give me power too. I'll log in and add it in. It's pretty easy just to add an article to a WordPress site.
Agreed, but the last time you said you were going to do a simple IT task during podcasting, Nathan the brother became a mod.
Well, that's fine. He was banned soon afterwards. All right. All right. I'll find it. I'll get there. You guys keep on talking.
All right. Dark Legacy is asking the predictions for the top three. This is kind of wide open. There are about five teams, I look at this, that I think have a real shot at winning the whole thing. So it's hard to pick three of them.
There's a lot of good stuff in here. Mm-hmm. All right, do we just want to go through the teams quick?
All right.
All right, first up, Already Tilted. Kator, Mercs, mm-hmm. and Minions.
First player mentioned here is Austin Thamesh, who is a good player out of Milwaukee.
This is that four assault chariot or four chariot list that I played against yesterday.
Yep.
Travis is wrong. It is not under the 2018. Oh, it's W. Why is there no link on the main front page? That's the one I'm talking about. Dang it. I mean, you should be able to go to the page and see a link there. It should be under Brian the category there, too. But
why is Brian listening to this episode?
That's what he's doing.
Hello, Brian.
Who are those five? If I had to pick them, I would say Tangential with Canada, Trolls from Felix's Basement, Trophy Husbands, Ruffle Waffles featuring Little John, and Nono Korean Order. It would not surprise me if any of those guys won it. And I mean, there are a number of other teams there that it would not surprise me at all. Gobbers are people too, allegedly. They could come home with it, and I wouldn't be surprised either.
How come Felix has got four?
He's got an alternate.
Oh, okay. Is Felix the alternate?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think so. Well, actually,
I think he's the alternate. Yeah. He's talking to Francesca. He is talking about playing with Chad and Chris. So.
Okay. Can't get these any smaller again.
All right. Yeah. So the first one is Kator, Mercs, Minions. Yeah, Austin's chariot list is strong. The Magnus 2, Cross 2 pair seems fine. Sword Knights.
Yeah, I disagree with Austin. I disagree with Austin's Irisk 2 build because
think it's not going to hit the table.
I mean that's entirely likely, but I mean he does not take the entire he takes Irisk 2 Legion and he does not take the entire Spiteful 7 because if you have seven countercharging tactician models and most of them are free in theme, you take all of them. Mm.
Like I said, I honestly don't think... I think that list is a scare list more than... Or a specific answer list more than a generalist list.
Yeah.
Are we going to go over every single team?
Yeah.
We're not going to go
into a lot of detail.
So...
Okay, good.
The Merc list is standard Minions, Malak, and Rask. Standard pair. So... Next up... Yep. Big Jank and Little Meta.
We have Alistair, who's a longtime Retribution player, playing pretty solid Retribution stuff. Playing Defenders of Ios with Alara 2 with four melee units is going to be interesting. I mean, I think this is also going to be much more interesting after CID, but this event is going to be before it drops.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is Kalissa in Shadows, which honestly I have no idea how that's supposed to work.
assassination list is my guess.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, a Calissa with three Hydras means that if you aren't prepared for it, your caster just dies.
Mm-hmm. Next, Matt Lust is playing a double bones pair, a relatively standard Kruger 2 list, and then a Mosar list with a Woldrath.
Which is probably not going to see the table.
I just don't get that one. And then finally, Tyler Nice is playing Haley 2 and Sloan, both with a Hurricane.
He's having troubles.
And next one, we have Dank Legacy's three-man wolf pack.
Two, Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah.
Which, Nathan, I fully expect that you are going to have to read like all of these names in their entirety every round. I will be very disappointed in you otherwise.
So, first, we have a fairly standard Davis Bailey. Davis Bailey, one of our locals here, who's also a very good player, playing a Trolls list. The first one is a pretty standard Kolgrimma list, playing Power of Dunia. Just have a bunch of high-efficiency
five Trolls.
Yep. Yeah, high-efficiency Trolls, headlined with Mulg and Whelps and Stones. Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot more to say that Kolgrim is a really good caster that can run just about anything, and Trolls have some pretty efficient beasts. So that one's going to be interesting. The other list is a double battle engine Grim 1 list. And I know Grim 1 has become a lot more popular lately, and I've seen this list play, and it is a lot scarier than people think.
Yep.
Yeah, I got nothing to say, basically. I mean, we're going to be going through a lot of fucking lists if we're going to be talking about everything for like a minute on each person's list.
Yeah, it'll be okay.
Well, I mean, it's not very basically, we're just saying, here's so-and-so, here's some models. It doesn't really invoke any type of conversation.
Yeah.
I mean, if we go into everything in full detail, then that would be a little bit, but
you've given the impression that you don't want us to go that deep, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if we do that, we're going to be here for 5 hours talking about everything in full detail.
Yep.
But yeah, you guys were on the Gobbers Are People Too, or you guys
we hadn't gotten that far yet.
Ethan, who has apparently recently gone out west and terrorized other metas, running Jagga Jagga and Maelok.
It's not Arcadius.
Yep, it's not Arcadius. And George Coe running Kador, the triple colossal Vlad 1 list. I was expecting to see that with Harkovich, but Vlad 1 should do fine with it. And
actually, I think that's better because it has better scenario presence. You feet turn one, they're 16 inches up the table.
Yeah, but I mean, his feet is like exactly the same as Harkovich casting mobility twice.
Correct. The difference is you do it in one turn, which and means you can't get jammed.
Yeah.
Yep.
Fair enough.
Because I've seen someone try and do that with Harkovich and get locked out of scenario if they go second. So it's
and then followed up with a pretty standard Legion of Steel at Rust 2.
Yep. All right. Now we're on to the Gobbers.
Yep.
Josh is playing Dreamer Old Witch, pretty standard Grimkin. Nick is playing
Striker 2, Nemo 3, which is, I think, one of the tournament standard Signar pairings these days. And Rick is playing Maelok and Barnabas 1, and I would kind of be surprised if Barnabas even sees the table here, because Maelok is so good.
Mm-hmm. And he's got 5 units of posse.
Yep. Get ready for it. All right, Hunting Pack is our next team. This is the first one I've seen so far that I know none of these people. We have a Circle running Tenneth 1 and Chromac 2, which is kind of an unusual pairing. Followed by a fairly standard Grimkin pairing with Herrick, Tick, and Dreamer both playing Dark Menagerie.
Yeah, I think those are actually Pat's. If they're very close to Pat's current list, which makes sense. And
one of our few Scorn, entries, because we only had 3 Scorn players in the whole event, which I thought was kind of unusual. And We've got a Xerxes. We've got a Xerxes 1 Master of War list, which I played into something very similar to this at Adepticon, and it was a lot better than I was expecting. And the second list is Jalam Imperial Warhost with only one Siege and a Mandarix and a Mammoth.
One of the three total.
Yep. Next one is Mighty Fluffy Toes. We have another Irrus II Legion of Steel, which may be the most common caster theme pairing in the whole event, because a lot of the Kador players are running Irrus II Legion, and I'm one of those because Irrus II Legion is really good.
I think that's one of the two casters that's repeated more than four times.
Yeah.
So.
Irrus II Legion is really good, and it's only been recently that I think people have really recognized how good it is. And the other list is Harkovich, which is kind of a weird Harkovich because it has exactly one Colossal. I mean, I'm a big fan of Harkovich, but I play it a little differently. Mm-hmm. But this still looks solid. We have Trolls here, a triple Battle Engine Grim 1.
So this is the list Jaden played at Lock and Load.
Yeah. Triple Battle Engine Grim 1 and a industry standard Madrek 1 list.
And then, is that 9 Slayers? 1, 2, 3, 4. No, there's units. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 Slayers.
7 Slayers.
Yep.
And a Gatsby 2 list, which we haven't seen a whole lot of recently.
They're one of two Gatsby 2 lists, I think.
Yeah. That's being run by Matt Schmidkamp, who actually was my opponent in the last round of last year's Wisconsin Team Championship. And interestingly enough, Matthew Schmidkamp had the hardest strength of schedule I have ever seen in a tournament, that literally everyone he played either went undefeated.
No, they went 4-0. He had four rounds of 4-0s.
No, he had one round of a 1-3.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so everyone he played either went undefeated or he was the only person that beat them. So I mean, if you take out the games he won, Yeah, he went 1-3.
Okay, then yeah, he won one game.
Yeah,
and that was the only loss any of his opponents had.
Yeah, yeah, that was the
you and I and two other people.
Yeah, yeah, he won one game, and that person went 3-1. So I mean, literally, it's like a strength of schedule. He had a perfect strength of schedule plus win score, and I've never seen that before. Which means, and they got to the final table. They got to the final table. So this guy got thrown under the bus epically, mm-hmm. and still pulled one out. Next is Nonokrian Order with Nekorezu's team, and we are looking at Dan Garces running a Circle with a fairly standard Kruger 2 Bones list and a Kruger 1 Devourer's Host list.
I don't want to play either of those.
Garces
is a really good player, and Dan and I got many, many games in back in the days of Mark II when Doyu had the bug that would auto-pair him and me every first round that we were at the same tournament.
I can't say I'm in a hurry to play either of these. I mean, I have played Irrus II into Kruger II, and I think it's a better game for Irrus II than most people think. But it's still going to be a rough matchup.
Yep.
Next is Travis Marg running Dini 2 Black Industries, which is probably the single list in the entire tournament that I am least interested in playing, and another Gatsby 2 Banes list. And then we have following up with Zach Watson playing Haley 2 Jakes 2. I haven't really thought about Jakes 2 in a long time, so I can't say too much of that.
Well, and I know Zach has a lot of practice with it, so
yeah, I
don't want to play anyone on this team.
Yeah, I'm familiar enough with Zach's playing that I'm going to say that if I don't understand something he's doing, it's because he knows what he's doing and I don't. So moving on, we have one of the two in Ruffle Waffles and Pone Cakes featuring Little John. We have one of the two Crucible Guard players.
It's a me.
Yeah. So why don't you talk about your list?
Yep, so Locke has 6 heavies and 4 trancers and a mini cloud wall. And then Sylvestro is all about having 3 units that are def 15 plus, that it just gets shoved up the table really fast.
Yeah, I think the Sinestro is going to be challenging for a lot of things because there are a lot of lists that are just going to stare blankly at Def 18 Blast Immune that can get up the board quickly. Correct.
Well, and at the beginning, it doesn't seem quite as so bad because I'm going to have Transmutation on the Press Gangers, but then I have Def 16 Blast Immune, Def 16 Blast Immune, Def 15 Tough No Knockdown.
Yeah.
I also fully expect that several of the wins I will probably get next weekend are going to be just because of unfamiliarity.
Yeah.
And given how I did on clock compared to how I normally do, there's a non-zero chance I'm going to clock myself at least once. Yeah.
Also, we have John Damaris, who is one of the most prominent Protectorate players, running Sevi 1 and Harbinger.
And I'll be honest, I haven't read either of my teammates' list yet.
So. Okay. Harbinger, Faithful Masses, Double Idrians, and a bunch of solos, which is just going to be a very solid list. And if John goes 4-0 and clocks his opponent every single game, I would not be surprised at all.
No.
And the other list is Sevi 1 in Creator's Might. I mean, Sevi 1 is one of those casters that he is never going to be a meta breaker because he doesn't do anything amazing, but he makes everything better. And this is just another example of that.
Yep.
The curious thing is it has Tristan running Adjudicator, which should be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have Josh Maxson running Mercenaries, and notably not running Thexis because he's still traumatized from the last Wisconsin team championship.
Yeah, so I think this might be the same pairing he or his stand-in was playing for ATC back in January.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a pretty standard. It's an Ostrom list, and then Damiano. They're both just solid.
Yep.
Let me look.
It's not a fully degenerate Ostrom list, but it's going to be. It's seriously strong in both damage.
He's got Tactical Darkness Core.
Yeah,
I have forgotten what those do.
They have a cloud wall, but they're speed 4.
Short little legs.
Yeah, they walk slowly and might die.
I mean, it's Ostrom, so they're speed 7 one turn.
Yep. Okay, next list we have Tangential with Canada, which has a roster of extremely good players all playing Kador. And this is, I think, the most interesting team here. And from some of the stuff...
No, it's just...
Andy keeps looking at me and I don't know what he's pointing at.
Yeah, for some odd reason, my pad will suddenly... If I'm just opening and closing the list and that, it will always open up the above one.
Oh, that's interesting.
I'm clicking on Tangential Care. Now it did it just fine, but otherwise it was opening up Josh Maxim's lists all the time for me. So every time you look up there, it's because something's fucking up on my goddamn pad.
Nice. Yeah, so I think this team's plan is, so they each have one list with triple Winter Guard Rockets.
Yeah.
And then they have another list, and I think they're just going to hope that they can spread things out in the correct order. So
yeah.
This entire team's thing is going to come down to knowing the matchup process. And in their favor, they have two WTC players on their side. So, you know, if anyone's going to win the matchup process, I think they have a lot of experience into a lot of different metas. So that'll help them.
Yep. And so the pairings with the triple rockets, we've got Butcher 1 Armored Core, which people haven't been talking about a lot, but I think is going to be a really solid pairing for it, just because...
Butcher 1 makes everything good?
Yeah, and I mean, Armored Core as a theme is just a bunch of good numbers, and if your caster can make them better, it's amazing. Tim Bankey is running triple rockets with Butcher 3 and Zirkova 1 Legion of Steel. And I will say that Zirkova 1 Legion of Steel is something that has been on my list to play because I think it should be very good into the meta, but I haven't gotten a chance to do it yet. And being run by Tim Bankey, this pairing looks absolutely terrifying. The last one is Sung Su, who is also an exceptional player. Running Vlad 2 and Armored Core. Vlad 2 Armored Core is probably the variant of that build that's getting the most press recently, for good reason. because Vlad II's feet, it works on warrior models that are non-characters. And as it turns out, the Manowar Dracoon is probably maybe the strongest non-character warrior model in the whole game.
It's Mark I all over again.
Yep.
He doesn't fly, though.
That's true. It's fair and balanced, Mark I all over again.
Yep. And then, of course, all sorts of other Man of Wars to feed on, and he's running. And he's running the traditional old-timey Vlad I Winter Guard with lots of rockets.
Yep. Now we've added Conquest or Victor.
Yep.
All right, almost done.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Next, we have the Culpists with Brian Culp running Scorn and running the majority of the Siege Animantirixi. Animantirai? What's the plural of that?
Probably the same thing.
Siege
Animrad. Animrad.
Yeah, so Brian is
bringing...
Brian is bringing the... Brian is bringing the majority of the Derp Turtles. There, I can pluralize that correctly.
And by majority, we mean two.
Yes, two out of the three of them.
Yep.
With Xerxes II Imperial War Host, which is another list I've seen that's scary.
And his Resheth Exalted list, which is very, very strong.
Yeah. Which I have never seen before, but just mathematically should be really good.
I've played into it. I think it's better than Winds of Death for Resheth. So, kind of for list theory thing, I usually lean towards liking a list that has closer to 55, 45, 60, 40 games into a lot of stuff versus the 70, 30, but that 30 is a wider subset kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I feel about that one.
Yep. And we have Celeste running the...
Double Bones.
Fairly standard Kruger 2 and a fairly standard Bradagus list, both of which are terrifying.
Yep. And then Randy is playing Lilith 3 with an Archangel and Abby 2.
Mm-hmm.
Which they're both solid, and he's got practice with those.
Yep. And we have next team, Trolls from Felix's Basement, who is running a very similar pairing of Kruger 2 and Bradagus 1.
Yep.
Chris Ocasio, who I played at the America's Team Championship this year, running Harbinger and Amon. The Amon list looks pretty similar to what I played in Milwaukee the last time, and has a Harbinger Double Adrian's list.
Yeah, it's very, very close to John's.
Yep.
And Francesc is playing Haley 2 with a Hurricane, and Sloan with Dear God, that's a lot of lights.
yeah, that's kind of how Sloan works.
Yep.
And then Felix, who I believe is their alternate, is playing...
Did you just get another mini crate?
It's the one that came like last week.
Oh, okay.
It's the one with the... It's the Pharaoh Warlord.
Warlord.
Yep.
And we have a standard Madrek 1 list and a standard Berka list.
I agree with someone further up in the chat. Andy, you need a bigger table.
No, we don't. No. Actually, I'm probably going to be going through
either that through or you, a we full need to redesign. Do like, you know, Crippled System goes to IKEA and then Andy gets some shelves.
Yeah. No. There's an IKEA near us now, isn't there?
The two exits south of the Milwaukee airport.
Oh, I have to go to Milwaukee. Never mind.
It's not that bad of a drive.
Yeah, it's not bad at all.
I don't like driving, though. As in probably the reason why I missed almost every one of the tournaments recently is because I don't want to drive solo. I hate driving by myself.
All right. Next team, we have Trophy Husband, starting off with my list, my Kador pairing. I am running Sorsha 3 and Eros 2.
Hey, no Harkovich.
People are happy about that.
It's different.
Yeah, I am running kind of, well, I mean, there are kind of two dominant builds of Eros 2. Either you run it with 30 pikes or with the 10 pikes and 10 Ulans, although honestly, I may be the only one that running them with double Ulans. There are a couple of reasons for that. One is that the reason I built this list, and I will say of all of the lists I have built, I have played with a lot and taken to tournaments, this is the only one I wrote down the first time, put it together, and then played it a ton and haven't changed it because I liked how it worked. And the reason I put this list together, I mean, so there's the basic thing is that you have a wall of pikemen who are steady tough because of Irusk and are arm 18, so they're not trivial to take out, and you have you have that tough check to slow stuff down, and then you put seven countercharging tactician models behind them, What are you doing, Andy?
I'm trying to scroll to the bottom, but it's now if I agreed with it.
Okay.
I would scroll down to the bottom and they're like, no.
I think we got at least one vote for crippled system goes to IKEA. Yeah.
But the other trick to this list is I have 2 units of Ulans, and the reason I put this together was because one day I calculated out the odds of having an Ulan with Battle Lust with Precision Strike, because you get Precision Strike from the Kovniks. If you charge it with Battle Lust and are able to hit a jack, an Arm 19 jack with the impact attack and the lance, or actually if you're just able to hit it with the impact attack, between the crit knockdown on the impact attack, the crit knockdown on the lance attack, and the damage from both of those, you have roughly a 48% chance of both knocking the jack down and taking out its cortex. And so, as it turns out, this is kind of scary for jack spam lists. Like, at Adepticon, I had somebody drop their jack spam list, not realizing that this list was built to eat jack spam, and it ate jack spam.
Well, I mean, if you're going against like Crix or something like that, I mean, sure, they have the higher defense, but they can't handle.
Well, Cav don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cav don't care about that because they hit high defense things. That's they're meant to do.
Yeah, on a Slayer, I need 5 on 3 dice.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, even if I don't knock it down, because I mean, I need five on 2 dice for the impact attack, and then 5 on 3 for the charge attack. And if I don't knock it down, if it's a Slayer, I just take one of its arms out, because a Slayer without an arm is really sad.
Yeah.
Even if I knock it down, I take its cortex out.
Well, and that even with unyielding, it's not that great.
Correct. I mean,
it's,
yeah.
And going back to my list, my lock list, that's actually my plan for Slayer spam as well, because she is Field Marshal Precision Strike.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to be cleaving. You know, it's just like, okay, took one arm out. Yeah. You know, and then, you know, each red line Toro can disable 2 jacks from doing the, what the hell is it? Combo strike. There we go.
Yeah.
Got there.
Man, isn't column 5 basically the best column to hit with everything?
Yes, unless you're playing lock and you know you can't kill it and you want a feat, and then column 1 is the correct choice. Because then you force them to spend Fine Fury to boost Orbeez. But sure, otherwise, sure. Yes, column 5 is, in every other case I can think of, is the correct answer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're...
So it's guaranteeing an arm at least.
And it's an armor or spirit.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I've had a few times with Flock where I've been like, 5, no, I mean 1.
Yeah, it's just the combination with that, with precision strike and crit knockdown and high damage, that you knock a cortex out, and a jack that's on its ass without a cortex then has to sacrifice movement or action, and so you just repo away and it can't do anything. The other list is Sorsha 3, and sometimes I think I am the only person who plays Kador who actually likes Sorsha 3. I mean, maybe I'm overestimating her, because even though I'm undefeated with her, I haven't had a whole lot of windmill slams. But she's a really solid caster and does everything.
I think people are still just angry because they didn't meet their initial design expectations.
It may be, but I mean,
has no bearing on whether or not she's actually good or not.
Yeah.
But people look at a Sorsha who starts at being what, speed 4?
Speed 4. Yeah.
And
yeah.
They just are angry. And yeah. You know, it's like the nerf cycle where you have something nerfed that's still 100% fine, but it's not what people want or remember, and they're angry and they don't touch it for a while.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I will say that, I mean, I think Sorsha 3 is the best designed combined arms caster that Privateer Press has come out with, because she's set up so that, I mean, she has probably the best field marshal in the game. I mean, her field marshal ability is literally Virus 1's feet. I mean, in theme, it is...
Which is everybody's flank.
Yeah, it's all of your warjacks have flank.
Yeah, that's pretty cool when you have models that stand the table.
Yeah.
I mean, with all the Manowars or the tough pikemen. I mean, that's pretty awesome.
Well, it only works on Manowars.
Oh, so it's only flank Manowars?
That's why I say it's in theme. It would be even more ridiculous if it was warrior models, but it's Manowar. It's Manowar. So in addition, actually, it's not Manowar warriors. It's just Manowar. So the chariots can get flank as well.
Sure, sure. But I mean, most of them all have reach. Well, they all have reach and
Except for the tankers don't.
Okay. Well,
If your tankers are in front line with your warjacks, you run into
if your tankers are flanking are the flank thing, something good or something bad.
Yes.
More than likely something bad.
Yes.
All right. Next up, we got Jake. He's playing his Grim 2 Double War Wagon list and a Magic 1 Band of Heroes list, assuming his shipment from the painter comes back on schedule. If not, it'll be interesting.
What is what is he waiting for come back?
Most of both of these lists is in the mail right now, coming back from St. Louis.
Okay. Well, I mean,
there's ways I can supply a lot of this, too. So he has backup people in mind, but, he's got 5 shipping days yet, so.
Yeah. But again, this is a these are fairly standard lists in both cases. Grim 2, I know locally, our troll players locally really love Grim 2 and nobody else does. So some people who aren't locals might be surprised as to what Grim 2 can pull off.
And then Keith
pulls off mortality and shit dies.
Yeah.
That's what Grim 2 does.
Yeah.
That's what he's always done.
Yeah.
Correct. Now with battle engines that can impact attack for 11 inches straight.
Yep.
And then finally, Keith, with the original Nine Slayers list.
Who's going to single-handedly be responsible for getting the Nine Slayer list nerfed.
Yeah. And then a Denny 1 Slaughter Fleet list, which is interesting. I was actually playing a variant of this back when Slaughter Fleet first dropped. I thought that the Shard Pirates were going to be good with her, but I, after just a very short number of practice games, decided that it was not a list for me because it's a list that requires very, or at least the way I had built it required very precise play, and I just didn't want to deal with that.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see how Keith does with this list. It looks solid, but I think unlike the pirate lists of old, this one is going to be subject to cascading failures a lot easier.
Yeah. Well, I mean, ultimately, Denny 1, between feet and debuffs...
I mean, you can't write a bad Denny 1 list if you just pick up a bunch of cards and throw it on the table.
Yeah. I mean, Denny 1 makes everything good.
But like I said, I mean, that list will be good.
Yeah.
Just randomly 52-card pick up a bunch of stuff until you get a 75-point Crix list, it'll be fine.
And Shard Pirates are cheap guys that get sprays, which means they get a ton of attacks.
Yeah.
And Denny loves stuff that has a ton of attacks.
Mm-hmm, correct.
So... this is also one of the lists I look at, and I'm glad I have exactly a 0% chance of playing it at the event.
Truth.
Nobody else has actually taken the Slayer 10? I didn't.
Someone has a 7 Slayer Gatsby 3 list. Travis has 5 Slayers in his Denny 2 list. That's 12, 9, 12, yeah, Travis, 21, and there's 6 other Slayers between everything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I think Dustin has a bunch. Yeah, Dustin has the rest.
Sure.
All right, so Weekend Warriors, the other Crucible Guard player, so David from Milwaukee, he's also playing Locke and Sylvestro because it turns out that's the only things you can play.
Very similar.
Yeah, the only two casters out right now?
Correct.
Yeah. The Locke list is very similar to yours, but the Sylvestro list is substantially different.
Correct. So the Locke list, he is just counting on his ability to either have Ninja to Liberator or to build a Liberator Friday night, which I didn't want to take that risk.
Because they're coming out Friday?
Yes.
Okay.
And then, his Locke list, he's going for the infantry, the medium infantry variant instead of the defense variant. So I'm actually curious to see how the two of us do. It'll be interesting test data. It was also just interesting reading the Facebook page and the Discord page for Crucible Guard because this is the first week where you could effectively play in tournaments.
Yeah.
So it's just been interesting seeing everyone's first reactions. As expected, there's been a lot of it does what? On both sides because people are still even learning how this stuff works. So.
Yeah, I have yet to even play Crucible Guard yet either. I've yet to play. So.
All right. Next up, Dustin. He's playing Witch Coven, Banes, and Danny 2 with a bunch of jacks.
Yep. Yeah,
Dark Host and
solid lists.
Black and I know he's played that Coven list a lot, so he's very familiar with it. And then Steven is playing, Risheth Exalted. And then he's playing Morgul 2 list, Disciples of Agony, with a lot of pigs in it.
And a Dracodile.
Yeah, I actually played against this list last week.
Well, that's kind of a neat the Morgul 2 list. It kind of seems really neat. I like it.
Yeah, he's been working on variants of this for a long time now.
Yeah.
He's put a lot of iterations into it. So.
Yeah, I am a little surprised though he didn't go with double derp, but I know he doesn't like playing double derp because he can't get games with people nearby here with double derp. Double derp turtle. Yep.
All right,
if you guys didn't know what I meant.
The last team, got a Scar 1 Slaughter Fleet list, which looks really small.
Where are these guys from? I know.
They're from around here, aren't they?
I recognize the names, but I'm blanking on where they're from.
Yeah.
Sorry. Maybe we should have a region.
This might be the Green Bay team.
That sounds probably right. Last name is very familiar to me.
Yep. It's a double Slaughter Fleet. Very interesting.
Yep.
Scar 1, Scar 3. Then Resnik 2 Faithful Masses and Krios 3 Double Vengers,
yep.
Which I always will support.
Yep, I am a big fan of Krios 3 Double Vengers.
As soon as
the CID drops. Well, for me, it's going to be the CID plus Sevi 0 because, I mean, Sevi 0 to my mind
opens. August 3rd.
Yeah. Sevi 0 opens up Protectorate in a lot of ways, in my opinion. But I think I have played a very similar list to this Krios 3 list. It is good. It is scary. And I think once we have Sevi 0 available, Krios 3 is going to be a very threatening caster.
Yep. Last but not least, Bradagus and Morvana 1 Devourer's Host.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yep. So
that is all 14 teams.
Yep.
So it'll be a good time next weekend.
Yeah, we've got a lot of really interesting lists here. Very few that I think really stand out as being I don't know. There's something of a reputation for competitive events running really horrible spam and skew, and we haven't seen a lot of that.
And probably the worst example of it is the guy who came up with it.
Yeah.
So you know.
Somebody in chat is made a quote that I'm going through and assembling the IKEA things, that for every screw I have to put in, I have to take a shot. And I said, well, why do that? You should make it so you take a shot for every screw you have left over.
And is having a live stream of drinking and screwing within Twitch's terms of service?
Also add in alcohol poisoning if you're doing every screw you put in.
Yeah, I was, and then he had basically said, you know, why don't you do it for both? For every screw that you put in and then every screw that's left over, I take a shot. And like, you're just going to have a dead Andy on your stream.
Yes, but I mean, mathematically, if you do it for every screw you put in and every screw you have left over, that's equivalent to counting how many screws are in it and drinking that many shots.
Well, I mean,
the fun is doing it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want to know how many.
Like I said, if you do both, have you guys seen the scene from Decline of Western Civilization Part 2 where she's interviewing the guy in the pool and he just takes a bottle of handle of vodka and just starts chugging it?
I've probably seen the clip of that. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but we're at that point, basically, where it's just drink the handle of vodka.
Yeah.
Save some time.
Well, depends on what flavor vodka. We have to get, like, some of the specialty flavor ones.
Oh, no, we're
like
talking...
the whipped cream vodka?
We're talking the $7 Fleischmann's.
Oh, no. God, no.
You've already made a bad decision. Why waste money?
Have you had the vodka with orange juice? With the cream?
No.
Yeah. It's not bad.
No, Nathan actually has that's a legitimate one, which is you take a shot every time you have to redo something because you screwed up the instructions.
That sounds very dangerously like our one, this is many years ago, this is back when Zombies was a decent game. Was like one of the only games out there for zombies.
Like the actual, the old little squares.
Twilight Creation Zombies game. So we did a New Year's Eve type thing where we played that. And we took a shot, and we didn't actually have shot glasses, so we had like a little mini bowl. So we took
this
bowls.
This is sounding bad.
We took bowl shots for every time that we did something wrong or out of order for the game. So if you can imagine, if you're taking bowls of alcohol.
So this was the game of cascading failures?
Correct, correct. Yeah, eventually it'd be like somebody rolled it. So if somebody like accidentally dropped the dice, it was like, you roll the dice out of order, you take a shot.
One quick thing before we get totally away from the Wisconsin Team Championship. Also something that's going to be debuting for the Wisconsin Team Championship is new and prettier steamroller sheets from Conflict Chamber. Because I cringe every time I see the current sheets because they come across my Facebook feed a lot and they're ugly as hell. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing something about that I'm in the process of basically writing them directly to PDF because one of the issues with them currently is it is really annoying to get stuff to print correctly across browsers and operating systems when you're laying it out in HTML. And mm-hmm. I'm in the process of doing it so that it dynamically generates PDF files, so they'll look a lot nicer.
For our UK viewers or listeners, are you going to make it so they can print out on A4?
Yes.
Okay.
maybe not. Probably not for the WITC, but it'll be an option.
I haven't had that. Somebody asked me to do that for like all my PDFs I do for the CID and that, but I'm waiting for somebody to say that.
No,
they're probably used to just rescaling it.
Sure. Point.
Yeah, everything is set up so that when it renders the lists to the PDF, within the program you can specify what size it is, so it'll be easy enough to do it for A4. Also, I'm taking a couple. We see enough now. I honestly see more conflict in random photographs of tournaments with sheets hanging around. I now see more conflict chamber sheets than official sheets.
Yeah.
So I feel like I can get away with printing out sheets that look more like the conflict chamber lists that have that style of connections and stuff like that. But yeah, they'll be coming out before the WITC, and I'm going to put my new logo on them because I really like my new logo.
Yeah, it's really cool.
No.
Do we have anything else? There's an awesome Daphne Grumble that would be interesting.
Let's hit it.
Right.
Well, as somebody had mentioned earlier in there, is like, what C-list comic book character would you like to see made into a movie or a television show? We have talked about things like this before.
What are we defining as a C-list comic book character?
Somebody who's not like a main character, like a Moon Knight potentially would be an example of one. I'll save mine for last because I think we actually talked about this too. But
yeah, I'm trying to think. The only thing that comes to mind right now is from the Tick comics, the assassin who bakes his sword into a giant loaf of French bread to get it through airport security.
All right. A whole show or movie dedicated to him?
I mean, is it going to be worse than Titans?
Yeah. Man. Yeah, probably. No. It's not going to be worse than that. All right. I'm not going to save it for last because I'm going to say it now. I want a villain-centric TV show. About the Taskmaster. I want to see villains having to, or like him dealing with his own schools to train people to be villains.
Goons.
Goons in that. Yeah. And then you could have it center on with, it could mainly be about him, and it could center on maybe like his five favorite students that are continuously rotated out.
I mean, either
they're captured, mm-hmm. or they're thrown in prison, or die.
I mean, either that, or you do some sort of like ensemble cast and just focus on the other teachers in the school type thing, and then you can just rotate whoever the hell you want in for guest star of the week and stuff as students.
Yeah, yeah. But
then you can just end it with some mugshot of, you know, it's Arnold and just in a police thing or something.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, at the end of the season, they'll have like a mugshot roundup of all, all the people. Well, no,
that's the final credits for each episode.
Oh no, you don't do it for the final credits. You just—I mean, the episode starts with the mugshot, and then it fades from black into mugshot, and then it goes through the episode.
72 hours earlier.
Yeah. No, that that would be fucking awesome. It was like, yeah, it just goes, it focuses on random thugs and they're training with a Taskmaster, and then and their mugshot is either of them with like a big bruised eye or, you know. Oh, yeah. I want to see this show now. Because, I mean, you could have, the cool part about it is you could have special guests in there from all of New York or wherever they're at. I mean, like, you know, you could have like a shot of the goon from the superhero perspective of beating him up, but you could see he's just got like red gloves or something like that. And you, well, that's Daredevil, obviously, but, you know.
Legally distinct.
Legally distinct. You just can't tell who it is, but yeah.
Well, I don't. I don't mean,
there's
know.
Enough superheroes with red gloves. You can get away with it.
Yeah, I mean, if they could do it with Cobra Kai, they could do it with with the Taskmaster.
Well, I mean, come on. It's like now Disney owns the rights to Taskmaster now because I would assume he would have gone with the Spider-Man. No,
He's technically a Cap villain. Is Taskmaster?
Oh, he's associated actually, more with Spider-Man.
Taskmaster? No, he's a villain. Basically, he's a villain for almost everybody because of his power, being able to the lightning reflexes, be able to learn how other people fight. But yeah, he's not specifically one hero's villain.
I mostly associate him with Spider-Man.
No, but he was we need to fill out an issue.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I remember him specifically in Captain America a lot. Is the big thing. Because him and Cap fights are kind of cool.
Can we go back to the for the C-list stuff? Can we go back to the bronze era age when everybody had a gorilla as a villain and do it from the gorilla's perspective?
Isn't that just Rampage?
We could just go into
Kong 2.
Eric Larson, who is a master at drawing Spider-Man, but he's the creator of the Savage Dragon. And one of his villains in there was a villain named Brainy Ape. it's basically an ape with a brain of Hitler running around. It's awesome. Not saying that Hitler is awesome, but Brainy Ape is awesome.
You heard it first.
Yes. Sound bites. Oh no.
But I mean, as far as promoting C-list heroes, there have now been two Guardians of the Galaxy movies, so anything's possible.
Speaking
right
about
now,
that
not a
shit,
third,
yeah,
that's so that's a little bullshit. At least I feel it's a little bullshit. You heard about James Gunn getting fired? So over his comments that he said about 10 years ago.
Before, they were not unknown comments.
Yeah, they were not unknown comments. It was something that he had said about 10 years ago. It was during his phase of his life when he was trying to be a provocative and trying to be, you know, the anti-establishment type thing, which was brought up again about 6 years ago.
Right, right around the first Guardians.
Right around the first
time. Because at that point, he was a controversial choice for a director.
Correct. And which Disney was all for him at that point. And Disney's owned it since then. How long ago did Disney buy
Marvel?
Buy Marvel.
August 31st, 2009.
Okay.
So it was well after that. Those comments were brought up. And he profoundly apologized for them. And now, 4 years later... Or 6 years later, they're brought up again. I mean, I think the way I thought about it in my head, it would be like punishing Mel Gibson again for his rant, his anti-Semitic rant. He's already been punished for it, and he's already apologized for. I'm sure he apologized, but
His was a little more court ordered.
Sure, yeah. Sure. But I mean, it would be like going and punishing him again for that. It's basically double jeopardy here, and it's not like Disney didn't know about these.
No, this one is straight corporate legal risk mitigation.
Yeah,
and there's no other explanation for it. It is flat out they have decided from a corporate perspective that they are slightly better off taking the fallout for getting rid of him versus taking the fallout for keeping him.
Yeah. Well,
either that or the other thing is unknown reason with movie meant this is the easy excuse to clean house.
True.
Is the other thing that could be.
True. Yeah. It's, I just, I mean, I mean, the guy had specifically said that he had made a mistake. He is a different person now. He said it. It sucks, but, you know, it is something that he has already apologized for and has moved on. And it seemingly his parent company had moved on because they let him make two movies that made them a ton of fucking money.
Yep.
I mean, especially, well, I mean, Guardians too. I mean, if they didn't like him, then I don't know.
It's I don't know. Like I said, I don't know enough of the situation to comment further than that. But like I said, it's this screams corporate legal.
Yeah, it's
decision.
I think it's them jumping on kind of like the whole with Roseanne. I guess, you know, what she had said was, but she didn't come out and apologize right away either.
No, she doubled down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, that was the picture she put out of her wearing a Hitler mustache and baking gingerbread cookies. Yeah. I don't know how she survived. Well, survived 10 seconds.
Correct.
After that.
Her apology was flat out, "I'm not sorry. I said it. I'm sorry. I got caught."
Yeah.
Well, I said it because I was on Ambien as well too.
Like I said, like, I'm not sorry.
Drugs.
I have a toddler. She flat out was, "I'm not sorry I did it. I'm sorry I got caught doing it."
Yeah.
Yeah. No, granted, we saw those characters being used in a different movie and they were just fine. So I mean, we might lose some of the quirk from James Gunn in the next Guardians film, but
I mean
they're good enough to not fuck shit up when that director is not handling those characters.
Yeah. I mean, and the other thing is with the impact of Infinity Wars, you know,
yeah,
it's going to be it's a different Guardians anyways.
We're all going back to the same. Everything's going to be back to normal.
And they've got a different, I mean, honestly, I have no idea who directed Thor Ragnarok. I just looked it up and it's Taika Waititi. And he did I thought Thor Ragnarok was better than the Guardians of the Galaxy movies. So maybe they can get him to do it.
Yeah. Sorry, I read the comment in chat, and we had a long bit of silence there. I was trying to process how I was going to talk about it, but I don't think we should talk about it.
Quote War Games: "The only winning move is not to play."
Yep.
Or not to watch it.
I mean, that was always the winning move.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Matthew Broderick 80s films. It's not. I don't know. He didn't. Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
You had to live through it. I just was born in it. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. You're like trying to quote Bane there.
In reverse.
You had to live for it. I was just born in it. I don't have a cup so I can make the proper Bane voice.
Just use one of your mini crate boxes.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Or, what's his name?
My dinosaur? I don't know where he is.
You lost your dinosaur.
Yeah, I don't know where he is.
Now we're
just stalling for time.
No, I went into parent brain because that's just the conversation you have with a toddler is, "Oh no, you lost your toy. Where is it?"
Oh, to distract me? Yeah, thanks a lot. So do you guys have any recommendations? I guess unless you have more Zappity Grumbles or stuff that you else want to talk about.
I had a board game thing, but I think we should wait until Nathan's back on. For that.
Oh, okay.
So it's actually a board game idea, and I think he will be a good part of that conversation as well. So we'll save that for a future episode.
Or we can just make the game.
Maybe I'll just
potentially.
Yeah. I mean, that's the other thing though too, is I have my board game that I'm working on too, that we're kind of working with Nathan on it, but we haven't really talked about it, and it's very close to prototype stage. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking I just might move ahead into prototype stage and just surprise Nathan. And then watch him rage.
Nathan, smash. Just put on RoboCop 2015 and you'll be fine while you're working.
2014.
Whatever.
Or 2019.
No, just RoboCop 2015. It'll be fine. Like, I'm pretty sure the Asylum knockoff of RoboCop 2014 is better than the
actual. Is there an Asylum knockoff?
There should be. It can't be worse.
I'm curious now if that exists, if there's an Asylum knockoff of RoboCop. Except for it's not RoboCop, it's just like RoboFirefighter. He just walks into buildings. All right. So my recommendation is Captain Toad's Treasure Tracker. It's for the Switch. It's also for the Wii U. It came out like 3 years ago, 4 years ago. It is an amazingly fun little puzzle game. You play as Toad, and you run around finding treasure, and finding treasure with Toad. Tracking treasure. It's awesome.
Can I recommend fucking Batman? Because, I mean, after watching
Why would you want to fuck Batman?
Well, I mean, that was that seemed to be the crux of the trailer for Teen Titans.
But, no, he's like angsty Robin saying, fuck Batman.
But, I mean, are you sure
I'm much worse. I kill five people now.
Are you sure that's not just sexual tension?
Are we sure Robin's a teen now?
This is going awkward.
Yeah.
So I recommend Majora's Mask.
That damn game.
Yep. I say, I'm currently playing through it again on the 3DS. It's great.
I've got a Majora's Mask 3DS.
I had one and I sold it and then we bought another one.
Yeah.
So don't, I wouldn't recommend that part of it. This has been more expensive than it's needed to be, but, yeah, it's great. It is my favorite Zelda game, so I just the repeating 72-hour clock puzzles are, I thought, very, very well done, and I just enjoy it.
I know somebody had mentioned that there is a version of Link to the Past. Is it Link to the Past? That was the third one, the one that came out for the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, the GameCube edition had, you could get one that had Ocarina and Majora's Mask and two other ones.
It does not have Link to the Past on that one, okay. On the GameCube one. That's I have that.
Okay.
I was wondering where, that's what I was looking for when I was looking at my video things. Yeah, that one just has the first two, Zelda 1 and Zelda 2, and then those other two.
Yep.
Majora's Mask and the other one. I think it also has the Master Quest in there too for the Ocarina of Time.
Potentially, yep. All right, David, did you have another recommendation, or are you just going to
recommend playing video games with your kids?
Yeah, yeah.
Makes even League of Legends palatable.
Until your kid yells at you for fucking something up. Because that's going to happen.
Yeah.
My friend...
Get in your goddamn lane!
My friend Chris has got his oldest is playing Overwatch with us, and he plays very well.
Yeah.
And so he basically won't play with us anymore because we're not good enough to play with him.
Yeah, that's playing with Ash and like telling them to like just tell me what to do.
He's telling all of his friends, "Don't worry, my daddy's a little soul."
No, that was I asked online. It's like, okay, I need the biggest, dumbest character I can play that doesn't need a lot of reflexes. So I'm playing Garen top lane. And if you know anything about League, that's apparently, or if any listeners know anything about League, that's apparently like the easiest thing you can do in the game.
So I guess the correct question is, when's the bot going to be done?
It has already crossed my mind because I'm looking at this and it's like it's only on one map, and so I could pre-compute the stuff so that I could read off of the screen and calculate the exact position of everything without trying to read the memory space, which is how anti-cheat stuff catches you. This is why you shouldn't talk to a computer scientist researcher about how to win games.
What are you talking about? I'm dumping gasoline on this fire. Yeah, I knew exactly what I'm getting into.
Don't cheat.
It's not cheating. I mean, a screen scraping bot is probably worse than actually playing.
Yeah. No, that was actually when I played Dark Age of Camelot. I built a bot that was active that ran on AIM at the time, which is what I was using. And so I would be at work and I'd have my bot running and farming stuff, and it did everything on AIM to me so that if somebody talked to me, I could respond. So nobody ever thought it was a bot because I was perfectly interactive. And
wait, for what?
Dark Age of Camelot.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah, so I had a bot that would just go around and farm for me, and it maintained a constant link of communication, and like would report when stuff dropped and log experience per hour and such. And I had a couple of other people that would sit there and join into the bot and see what was going on, and were especially interested like when I tweaked the combat strategy for it, how more or less efficient it was.
Did you?
So we just need that code, and then we'll just hook it up to the Twitch stream, and it's like Twitch streams,
crippled system plays Captain Toad's treasure tracker.
Yeah. I can just add a bit of randomness to the bot so we can simulate feeding it alcohol.
Did you so
that's just called lag.
What realm did he play in Dark Age?
Guess.
Obviously Norse.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, so you never got to play in Kaer City?
No.
So it's just one of the dungeons that are in I can't even remember the realm it was. It's in Albion, but it's one of the dungeons there. It has probably one of my favorite bosses ever in a video game. For an MMO.
Well, I mean, you know, in Dark Age of Camelot, they did something that I thought was absolutely amazing, which was each of the dungeons was duplicated in each of the realms with just different monsters in it. Every dungeon had a dungeon in another realm that had the exact same layout.
Okay. Because
I played we played Albs to like 20th level once, and I was like, wait a second, this is exactly the same layout as the newbie dungeon in the Midgard. And it's like, no, it's exactly the same. The monsters spawn in the same places. They're just little. They have different names.
I'd have to double check that. But so in the big, no, because the was it Norse? Was it Norse guy? What was the
Midgard?
Midgard. Jeez, yeah. It's been a long time. So, Hibernia.
Midgard, Albion, and Hibernia.
Yep. But I could have sworn that Midgard's was like an ice shelf thing, or is some kind of like ice caves.
That was the
for their like. Big dungeon.
Oh yeah, that was for the raid in the first expansion. It was the Tuscaran Glacier.
Yep. So the Albions had Kaer City, which was just a castle.
The raids were different.
Yep. Yeah. So in Kaer City, I think it was like one of the first bosses. There is again like one of my favorites. What it would do is it would pick a random person in the party and it would drop a 5,000 ton item into their inventory, and then it would run away. So the whole thing is just you chasing this mob around while it's just throwing inventory the stuff into your inventory.
Yeah, no, I had because I spent so much time in analyzing how that game worked, and we got to the point that we could raid Tuscaran Glacier with like six people.
Yeah,
and that was that because I mean at one time I knew one of the producers and he followed me around invisible one time I was doing this, and like the next patch they fixed a bunch of the things I did. Oh. And it's like, yes, I just won Dark Age of Camelot because they nerfed me. it wasn't just this technique. This was, as far as I knew, I was the only one doing it. They nerfed me.
Nice. I mean, there's so many good memories of Dark Age of Camelot. I remember the pygmy farms. So there's in Albion, there is that's how you ground up to level 50. There's pygmy goblins, except for they didn't have a leash on them, so they would get pygmy goblins that would be traveling like halfway across the continent to kill people.
Yeah,
so good.
Yeah, no, that was, I mean...
It's just reminding me back of Vanilla WoW when you could kite the Doomlord into Stormwood.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If you look up, Stormwood Kha'Zix is probably some of the best videos you'll ever see.
Yeah.
Of just, because he, every single time he kills somebody, he just gets more powerful. And he just...
I'm a fan of MMO things that you can do that force server reboots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, between that and the Plague.
The Plague was the best one.
Yeah. Well, that's because there's actual good coming out of that one. Yeah. They use that for epidemic studies.
That one's really cool. Jim, we dragged a devil sore to Orgrimmar. And this is old school dragging it to Orgrimmar, like up that elevator. Sneaky devil sores.
I think one of my best memories of Dark Age of Camelot was getting a call from a Danish dude at 3 o'clock in the morning that said, "Hey, can you call the next people on the phone tree because our keep's under attack?"
Yo, yeah, yeah, no, that was the best part about that game is the realm, like you felt like your relic keep is under attack. Then you just felt like you had to go and defend it.
Yeah, so I was logged out at the Relic Keep, and I logged in, and I was half asleep, but I played a pure tank warrior, and it was entirely spec'd for defense, so I just sat there for like half hour until everybody got there, and just walking up and poking somebody and running back behind the guard, and we kept the relic. It was fun.
Yeah, no, those were the good old days. I'm hoping that the Beyond Camelot Kickstarter will actually ever see light of day. I get notifications for it all the time. I'm one of the founders on it, but I haven't logged in, done anything with it yet. They're still in beta, And the game, I think, was due in 2014. So, anyway, thanks y'all for watching. Yep. We'll check you out next week. We'll be here. Well, actually, we'll probably record a podcast at the WITC. Wait, is it just going on Saturday? Is just it just Saturday? Saturday? Just Saturday. Oh, yeah, so then we'll be here on Sunday.
We should be here.
Sunday.
No. All right. We'll probably be tired.
Yeah.
There will be War Machine talk.
Yeah. I'll probably have a headache because I'm going to do a lot of drinking. Bye.
No, that's what the Wisconsin Team Championship is for. It's a drinking event that there's also a War Machine.
Yep. All right.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.